Murderous Gnats by Jartin Puskett. Illustrated by Trevor Denton. Murderous Gnats, are you kidding? The basics. Signs and symbols. You probably know what different numbers mean, don't you? 1 means 1, 2 means 2, and so on. It's dead obvious. 1 by the, 2 confusing. As well as numbers, there are different signs you can use to show what you want these numbers to do. Equals, equals. This is when two numbers are equal to each other, such as 3 equals 3. Wouldn't it be great if as sums are as easy as that? Plus, plus. This is when you add two numbers together. If you have $10 in one pocket and $25 in the other pocket, what have you got? Someone else's trousers? Ain't it, Jack? The thing to match with plus is that you must add up things that are the same. Look at this. Two apples plus three apples equals five apples. Some people might want to check this on their calculator. If you're a person like this, then run away because they have got brain rot. Now look at this sum. 17 girls plus 9 boys equals 26. What? Is it 26 girls? No, unless your boys don't mind being called girls too. Is it 26 boys? No, unless your girls don't mind being called boys. But remember, there are 17 of them, and they could get pretty tough. In fact, it's 26 girls and boys, or even 26 children. Just because you counted them out together doesn't mean that some of them have to change from one to the other. Minus, minus. This sign is when you want to take one thing from another. Again, you have to make sure that both things are the same. This is all right. 7 dogs minus 4 dogs equals 3 dogs. Again, watch out for anybody who has to check this on their calculator. These are the sort of people who suck socks for a thrill. But what about this? 7 sausages minus 2 chips equals... You see, it's utterly daft and doesn't make sense. And the comic says, you have 12 dogs, and Fred takes away 7. What have you got? A bite and another ancient joke. Times or multiply by. Times or multiply by. Multiplying something is like adding something over and over again. 5 times 3 is like adding up 3 lots of 5. Or adding up 5 lots of 3. So 5 times 3 equals 5 times 5. 5 plus 5 plus 5. Equals 3 plus 3 plus 3 plus 3 plus 3 equals 15. Divide by. Dividing is the opposite of multiplying. It is like splitting a number up into equal pieces. 15 divided by 3 equals 5. This sum tells you that if you split 15 into 3 pieces, each piece is 5. Another way of saying it is, how many 3s in 15? The answer is still 5. There's something rather cute about sums with dividing signs. You can swap the dividing number and the answer round and still be right. Here you swap the 3 and the 5 over and get it. 15 divided by 5 equals 3. It even works for big numbers like that. 12,331 divided by 33 equals 287 is right. And so is 12,331 divided by 287 equals 33%. This just means divide by 100. Some scores give you results marked in percentages. So if you got 61%, that would mean you got 61 out of 100. Eggs 20% off. Phew, said the comic. Shop windows quite often have notices saying things like 20% off. That would mean 20 slash 100 off, which is a way of saying that whatever they're advertising is 1/5 of the price less than normal. Of course, if you see a shop saying prices are 50% on, then don't go in. So that's equal, plus, times, divided by, and percent. Cute, handy, and fairly straightforward. But now for an explosive sign, powers. Quite often you have to multiply a number by itself a lot of times. How about 13 times 13 times 13 times 13 times 13. Because the 13 here is multiplied by itself 5 times, this is called 13 to the power of 5. Notice that this is not the same as 13 times 5, which is just 13 times 5. There's a shortcut to writing out these rows of numbers that are the same. You just write a little number in the corner. So for 13 times 13 times 13 times 13 times 13, instead of writing 13 out 5 times, you just put 13 with a little 5. Learning. Big numbers approaching. The exciting thing about powers is that you get some murderously massive numbers. Compare these two. 13 times 5 equals 13 times 5 equals 65. 13 to the power of 5 equals 13 with a little 5 equals 371,293. How scare scientists? These numbers can be pretty scary, especially when it comes to things like bacteria. Bacteria look like very miniature alien maggots, and they can live practically anywhere. You've even got a few million friendly ones crawling around inside your guts. There are thousands of different sorts, most of which are harmless. However, if you get enough of the dangerous ones, they can be lethal. Scientists are always trying to invent new drugs to fight dangerous bacteria, but they have two big problems. Although a drug might kill billions of bacteria, occasionally one or two become mutants. This means they can resist the drug and survive. Even if the mutant bacteria are lethal, one or two can't hurt anyone on their own. The trouble is that they can reproduce themselves rather quickly. The Bacteria Guide to Reproduction. 1. Grow longer and split in half. 2. Both halves grow longer and split in half again. 3. Do this every 10 minutes or even faster. Indeed, if you start with just one lonely little bacterium, in 10 minutes you'll have 2. In 20 minutes you'll have 2 times 2, or 2 with a little 2 above it. In 30 minutes you'll have 2 times 2 times 2, or 2 with a little 3 above it. In 60 minutes you'll have 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2, or 2 with a little 6 above it. In 24 hours you have 2 with a little 134 above it bacteria. So how many bacteria will I have after just one day? If you work out 2 to the power of 134, you'll find it comes to about 22,300 with a lot of zeros after it. Murderous! You can also write this number as 2.23 times 10 with a little 33 above it. The chapter on strange numbers tells you all about this. Actually, it's only the fastest types of bacteria that can grow and split in 10 minutes or less. Most take around half an hour, but even so, in one day, you'll get 2 with a little 38 above it of them, which is about 28 with a lot of zeros. In 2 days, you would get 281 with a little 2 above it, which comes to about 79,200 with a lot of zeros after it. If this was the lethal bacteria, and there was nothing to stop it reproducing, and it managed to spread itself, and there was nothing to destroy it, this would be enough to kill everybody in the world. No wonder scientists are worried. Isn't it amazing how fast numbers grow if you just keep doubling them? Watch out for Colonel Campbell, who turns up later in this book. Doubling numbers gives him a very nasty shock. Professor Fiendish's Fatal Fungus. Oh no, don't say I'm in perilous danger again, you say with a yawn. But yes, it's the same old story. Professor Fiendish has trapped you in his bathroom. On the floor is a huge patch of fatal fungus which is about to fire its rot spores all over the room. The only way to save yourself is to cover up the patch of fungus. Not even a tiny bit must be left uncovered. All you have to cover the fungus with is a set of square ties which are all exactly the same size. The edge of the pattern does not have to be neat, just so as long as you cover the fungus completely. Luckily, you find that this is easy. But unluckily, Professor Fiendish realizes it is too easy with square ties. He takes them away and shows you some shapes like this. A rectangle, a triangle, and some other shapes. You have to choose just one of these shapes, and he will give you a set of tiles of that shape. Does it matter which shape you choose to cover the fungus with, or do you think that some shapes will not work? Here's a clue. The round tiles would be useless because there would be lots of gaps between them like this. You can find this out for yourself. Get a lot of round coins, such as 1 penny pieces, and try to cover a piece of paper completely so that there is no paper at all showing underneath. All the coins must be flat on the paper. You are not allowed to put any coins over the top to cover up the gaps. So which of the professor's shapes would work and which would not? Remember, the edges of your pattern don't have to be neat just as long as there are no gaps in the middle. A fun way to find out is to get some paper and cut out lots of shapes the same, then see if you can fit them together. That way you can see which shapes will save you from the fiendish fungus. You could even invent your own shapes and cut them out. You should find that any shapes with 3 or 4 straight sides would work, but if you're clever, you might like to see if you can invent shapes with 5 or more sides that work too. Answer. Shapes 1, 2, 3, 8, and 9 will cover the fungus completely, but the others will leave gaps and the rot spores will poke through and get you. The stirring saga of the Valiant Vectors. Good grief, exclaimed Colonel Council as he stuck his head round the guard room door. What is going on here? Well, you see, sir, stuttered the sergeant, it's like this. We've lost all our clothes. The colonel stand round in disbelief as his 12 Valiant Vector warriors sat shivering in front of him. What do you mean you've lost your clothes? Gasped the colonel. I can see them from here. I piled up in the corner. You should get your eyes tested. No, sir, we were playing cards and we lost them, mumbled the sergeant, trying to cover himself up with a pair of sevens and a jack of clubs. So who won them? Demanded the colonel. How did you do? Said a small man, stepping out from behind the pile. Dad, the magician at your service. Give my men their clothes back at once, demanded the colonel. That wouldn't be proper, said Thag. After all, I won them fair and square, and these gentlemen, being gentlemen, wouldn't dream of taking back what wasn't theirs. Around the room, the valiant Vector warriors all nodded gravely. They knew that one of the main traits of being a valiant Vector warrior was to be a gentleman, even though some of them weren't sure if being a shivering, naked gentleman was such a good thing. Well, Mr. Thag, the mathematician, let's see how much of a gentleman you are, said the colonel, dealing the cards out, because I'm about to teach you a lesson. About 10 minutes later, can't I just keep my pants? Pleaded the colonel. After all, I need somewhere to pin my medals, Thag grinned. You'll have to buy the clothes back, he said. How much? Asked the colonel. You'll have to pay for each set of clothes separately, said Thag. How much? Asked the colonel again. The first payment would be £1. The second payment will be £2. The third will be £3. The fourth will be £4, and so on. But there's 13 sets of clothes, including mine, gasped the colonel. The last lot will cost £13. If you think that's too much, I'll give you a choice. The first payment could be £0.01, said Thag. That's more like it, said the colonel. But the payments will double every time, so the second payment will be 10 pence, and the next 4 pence, and the next 8 pence, and so on. Piffle, said the colonel. I'll go for the pennies. Let me have my clothes back. I need a penny for the first lot, said Thag. Certainly, said the colonel, feeling for his pockets and only finding his belly button. Oh, can I pay you later? All right, said Thag, but don't forget that for 13 sets of clothes, you'll need 13 payments. You have my word, said the colonel. Besides, it's only a few pennies. Soon all the soldiers were getting dressed again. Right, said the colonel, turning to Thag. What do I owe you? No rush, said Thag. Who knows, there might be a few other little jobs I can do for you. Thud! Just then an arrow shot through the window of the guard room and slammed into the table right in front of Colonel Kansa. Good grief, gasped the colonel. That was close. It was, agreed the surgeon. It nearly knocked the milk jug over. I'm going to have to complain about that postman, said the colonel as he untied a smear of parchment from the arrow. What does it say? Said the sergeant. Please read, Prime's elephant help you, I like cold sausages, muttered the colonel. Eh? Said all the Vector warriors together. It doesn't make sense at all, said the colonel. Apart from the bit about cold sausages, said the sergeant, I like them too. Please read, Prime's elephant help you, I like cold sausages, am not imprisoned, love those curtains in green calculus, don't wait up, castle, hello, mum, that's the birdie, signed, sealed, princess, long johns, up your jumper, laplace, crumba, P.S., eggs, rhombic, bingo, window, X. Look, said the colonel, it says princess. Princess, long johns, up your jumper, laplace, the surgeon exclaimed, who's that? Maybe it's Princess Laplace, said the colonel, and she's writing in code. Code, by jingo, gasped the sergeant. Yes, muttered the colonel, and knowing the princess is bound to be one of those dashed fiddly number tricks. Oh, gosh, sir, isn't she clever, simpered the sergeant. Nobody will ever be able to decode her secret message, including us, said the colonel. Brilliant, how are we ever going to know what she wants? A gentle cough came from the corner. I could decode it for you, grinned the math magician. Really, said the colonel, but it will cost you one more payment. To be continued. The best invention ever. How do you feel about numbers? Yawn, boring, snore. Wake me up when you've finished. The trouble is that numbers are so brilliant that everybody takes them for granted. In fact, numbers are the cleverest and most powerful invention ever. You might think that telly is a much better invention, or a jet rocket is more powerful, but without using numbers to organize and calculate everything, they might never have been invented. Handling numbers are, thank goodness, we're not Roman. These days, we take reading and writing numbers for granted thanks to the system of using the 10 numerical digits. 10 numerical digits? Ugh! That sounds frightening. What are they? Relax. It's just 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. With our system, you can write down a sum like this. 28, 107 plus 654 equals 789. In case you think that's a bit hard, look how the ancient Romans would have written out the same sum. XXVIII CVII plus DCLIV equals DCCLXXXIX. Ugly, isn't it? The trouble was that in ancient times, they didn't have our number system. The very earliest number systems work like this. I want you to count my sheep. This is easy. Phew. So how many have I got? 4. Bah. People eventually realized that writing down lots and lots of little lines was a real nuisance, and they started to invent easier ways of doing it. The Romans used lines for the smallest numbers, but as numbers got bigger, they used letters as shortcuts. Instead of drawing five little lines to show five, they used the letter V. They added more lines to the V if they needed to. So, for example, to show seven, they would draw VII. To show the number 10, they used the letter X. Again, they would add their lines if necessary, so 13 would look like XIII. And 15 would be XV. Eventually, they end up with this line. I equals 1, V equals 5, X equals 10, L equals 50, C equals 100, D equals 500, M equals 1000. The comic says, "They say he invented the Roman number system. Cleverus Dicus." By combining these signs, they could show any number. E.g. 537 would be DXXXVII. So far, so good. But they didn't always add the signs together. For instance, to write the number 9, they could have written VIIII, which means 5 plus 4, but it was easier to write IX. By putting the I in front of the X, that means you had to take 1 away from 10 to give the number 9. Murderous, isn't it? They used to do this with the bigger numbers, too. XC was the same as LXXXX, which is 90. XCII would mean 92, and XCIV would be 94. Be honest, you're starting to think our system is pretty clever now, aren't you? Test yourself. Can you match up the Roman numbers to ours? Be careful, because there are two numbers which don't match. Can you find them before your brain gets too hot? Answer DIX and 1202 don't match. Incidentally, there is one number that the Romans could not write down. Can you work out which one it is? Answer, the Romans didn't have a sign for zero. Even if you think that the Roman system wasn't so bad for writing numbers down, could you imagine having to do sums with it? A Roman sum, MMCDLXIV divided by X4I plus XXIX times XVII equals DCXXXXVII. He just heard us. Arrgh! How our 10 system works and the invention of nothing. If we want to write a number less than 10, we just put one digit down as its own, say 3 or 8. Is it me, or is this a bit simple? It's you, you're simple. If we want to write a number more than 10, we use more than one digit together. We can write the number 65 like this, 65. Or we can write the number 482 like this, 482. We can even write huge numbers easily, such as 98,736,227,021. Imagine doing that in Roman numerals. Our system works because we can use the same set of digits, but they have different values depending on where you put them. Take the number 531. We know that the 1 is worth 1, the 3 is worth 3 times 10, which is 30, and the 5 is worth 5 times 10 times 10, which is 500. Each position is worth 10 times more than the one on its right. Suppose you used exactly the same digits but put them in different places. You would get a completely different number. For instance, if you wrote them as 135, the 5 would now be worth just 5. The 3 is again worth 3 times 10, which is 30. It's in the same place as before. And the 1 is worth 1 times 10 times 10, which is 100. So what happens if you put the digits in the wrong order? It's like getting dressed in the wrong order. You end up with your pants outside your trousers. A number machine. In the olden days, people had several different methods of recording numbers. They might use piles of stones or put knots in ropes, but the cleverest method was the abacus, and even today, lots of people from far eastern countries still use them. An abacus has rows of wires with beads on them. One sort of abacus has each wire divided into two sections with one bead on the top and four on the bottom. There's a bit of free room for the beads to slide along. Here is a small abacus. The position of the beads on each wire of the abacus shows a number. When the single bead on a wire is pushed to the top and the group of four is pushed to the bottom, that shows the number zero. If one of the lower beads is pushed to the middle, that means number one. If three of the lower beads are in the middle, that means number three. If the top bead on a wire is in the middle, that counts as five. If the top bead and some bottom beads of the same wire are in the middle, well, you can work it out. The good thing about an abacus is that you can change the numbers very quickly without writing down and rubbing out. This means the abacus is helpful for doing adding and subtracting. And in fact, skilled people can even do multiplying and dividing faster than a calculator. Where do you put the batteries? You can read off a number from the abacus, just like reading written digits. The abacus on page 33 shows the number 75,310. Just like written numbers, each wire on the abacus is worth 10 times more than the wire on its right. Have you noticed how everything seems to depend on the number 10? Does it seem odd, then, that we have different signs for all the numbers up to 9, but when we get to 10 we don't have a special sign? We instead write a 1 followed by a 0? These days we take it for granted, but in fact one of the major breakthroughs in the whole history of the world was the invention of nothing. Even after the digits 1 through 9 had been developed, it took hundreds of years for people to realize they needed a sign for 0. It was easy on an abacus, you just left out the beads at the edge to mean 0. But when they wanted to write down the number 2013, they wrote 2 space 13. They just left a gap in the hundreds column, if they remembered. As you can imagine, it could get very confusing to comics. The enemy were attacked with one space 2 men. Is that 102 men? 12? 1,002? 10 to 20? Or is it just one man with two others? Oopsie.